Welcome to Two Pizza Marketing, the podcast for small team marketers with hosts Melissa Moody and Ashley McGovern. You might have heard about the two pizza rule, which says the most agile, effective team meetings are ones that are small enough to only need two pizzas for the meeting. Let's get into the marvelous mess that is two pizza marketing. Welcome to Pizza Marketer. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Ashley McGovern. I don't normally mention this, but I am the content marketing manager at RealLink. So I head up our full funnel content marketing strategy. And I only bring that up because I have a fellow content marketer here with me today, and that is Lachey Lewis. So welcome, Lachey.
Thank you so much for having me on, Ashley. I'm excited about this.
Yes, I'm excited you're here. And for those that maybe aren't familiar with you, will you give a little background into who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So what I do is I consult for B2B SaaS companies with a specific focus on conversions from blog posts, hyper-focusing in on bottom of funnel comparison page style content for people. So yeah, that's a little bit about what I do in my background as a consultant and kind of like the companies that I help.
So I asked Lachey to come on the podcast today because I feel like today's conversation is very timely for tech startups right now. And that is because I'm hearing more and more that everybody needs more pipeline. And I know that you're a firm believer and you say it's much easier to attribute pipeline to content that focuses on bottom of funnel content. So I know from one Dave Gearhart's podcast, because I've listened to a couple episodes with you, but you are very passionate about bottom of funnel content. So will you tell me a little bit more on how you came about to, one, just be so passionate about bottom of funnel content?
I think it has to do with my history. So with, you know, I tell this story all the time, but I started building affiliate websites at 16. And I was actually teaching myself content strategy at that time. I just didn't know it. So even with the affiliate sites I would build, I would target bottom of funnel keywords. And what would happen is that I would see traffic coming to the article and I would see people converting because it was an Amazon affiliate site for all my OG affiliate marketers know what I'm talking about. But it was an Amazon affiliate website. And I would see like traffic and sales and I'm like, oh, shoot. Okay. And then from there, I was like, how can I scale this up? So what I would do is I would create templates for those bottom of funnel. And at the time, I did not know this was bottom of funnel, but essentially for these bottom of funnel articles and just get so many sales from people coming to the article, reading a review, and then going to Amazon and purchasing the thing that I just reviewed. So in retrospect, if you think about it, I'm doing the same thing now. I'm just doing it for a different audience. And it's a lot more complicated than an affiliate website. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I like your approach. And I had another topic. I think it was a Pizza Bite, which our Pizza Bite episodes are just short, snackable podcast episodes between Melissa and I, between the hosts. And I talked about bottom of funnel content because I was building out our full funnel program at RealLink. And I noticed that we were doing so much top of funnel content and we weren't talking about like, not necessarily like a hard sale on our product, but we weren't doing enough like case studies or something, more of that middle to bottom of funnel content. So to tee up today's conversation for our listeners, I already brought this up to Lachey, but I have like three buckets of topics I want to talk about and kind of learn from you because I'm learning as well as a practitioner. But one would be bottom of funnel content. Two, I want to talk about your content marketing dashboard that I actually downloaded a few months ago. So very serendipitous. Now we're talking. And then lastly, your approach when it comes to feature mapping. So those are three main topics. And of course, we'll get to your marketing mess a little bit later, but that's what I'm thinking for today. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
All right. So going back to bottom of funnel content, I have a bunch of listeners that have talked to me about how their tech company sells multiple products. If you have a client come to you and it's a similar situation, how would you recommend that they balance marketing all of those products from a bottom of funnel standpoint?
That's a great question. So I like to talk to the sales team to understand So, especially if a SaaS company has multiple products, I like to talk to the sales team to get a better understanding. Okay, which products are selling the most? What are, this quarter's goals? Are we trying to increase pipeline to this specific product or that specific product? So when I come into companies and I choose which product we're going to focus specifically, for bottom of funnel content on, it's data from other teams, and it all aligns back to their bigger goals. So it's not me coming in saying, okay, I think we need to do this, that, and the third. I let them tell me what they need and then create a plan based on what they need.
I like that. And just so everybody's aligned here, what would you say are some content assets that are more bottom of funnel?
I would say case studies, blog posts, but okay, but it's really the specific type of blog post that's the thing, right? So when I think of bottom of funnel, I think of somebody that is solution aware. They're ready to sign on for software. They know their problem. They're able to put a name to it. Specifically, the types of bottom of funnel content I like to focus on specifically is best versus an alternative, which are, otherwise known as comparison pages. So in my experience, I found that they not only rank so much easier than top of funnel content, but it also is easier to track conversions because they're so close to the point of conversion. And a lot of the time, the traffic comes in, hits the article, and then goes straight to a demo. It's not difficult to track that versus getting someone in, a prospect in through top of funnel, waiting 2 or 3 months for retargeting until they see a middle of funnel, and then waiting 2 or 3 more months until they see buy. It's way harder to track the buyer's journey from top of funnel to conversion than it is to do it from bottom of funnel to conversion because you're so close to that conversion point when you focus on bottom of funnel.
Yeah, so talking a little bit about conversion rates with your bottom of funnel content that you've created in the past, are you typically adding a CTA there and that's where you're measuring that conversion?
Yeah, for sure. So when I do bottom of funnel blog posts, I always add multiple CTAs in the post. They're never pushy or intrusive. A lot of the time, they're just in text call to actions. Buttons work pretty well too. It's just all about where you place them. So for me, I like to place a call to action right after the intro. I like to place another call to action right after we review our product. And then I like to sometimes even make the conclusion a really big call to action as well. So most times it's three places where the call to action sits, but I find this works very well as it relates to conversions. You don't have to do like anything over the top. If you just blend it in with the content and make it sound really natural, I find that that helps a lot.
Okay. I love this topic. So I just have a couple more questions on it. Okay, thinking about the length of the blog article, and I'm just in the weeds with creating blog articles right now. So this is probably why I'm asking a lot about it. But do you have a specific length and or how many keywords you typically try to not necessarily stuff in there, but stuff in there?
Yeah, I love this question because people are usually so surprised by the answer. But to an extent, but I rarely focus on the SEO component of bottom of funnel articles. And I know it sounds like counterproductive because it's like, well, we're trying to rank this so it can convert. But what I found is like, if you write for the customer first, you have a really, really good chance of ranking. So what I like to do is I like to include the keyword, of course, in the H1. I like to include it somewhere in the intro, but I'm not purposely stuffing, right, the keywords. I'm not trying to say, oh, okay, we need this amount of keywords in order to, I include it in the meta title, maybe the meta description, and then the H1 of the article, and then in the intro. Usually that's enough to be able to rank bottom of funnel pieces. Because remember, again, they're way easier to rank than other style articles. And then I find when you make it like really deep and product led, it really just like crushes the competition because so many people don't do bottom of funnel content or comparison pages or what have you correctly, that when you do do it correctly, Google's like, oh wow, this is super in depth, and they understand that. So usually I find like that helps rankings a ton. And I tell people all the time, like, I haven't built a backlink in years. And it's because, and I used to be one of those people, right? Especially like back in my affiliate days, I just was like backlink crazy. But when you put the customer first and the search engine second, that's when you start to see the results, because you can rank all you want, right? If you're not converting, what does it really mean? What results are you really getting for the company? Every SEO agency says that. Oh, and I've worked for them. I'm not just, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on here, but I'm not like shit talking SEO agencies purposely, right? I'm just like, I've worked for them, so I know how they operate and how they think. And a lot of it is just like smoke and mirrors. They're like, oh, we got you this ranking, but in this amount of traffic. Yeah, but how many conversions did you get? Right? Like, that's what companies care about. So I would say, yeah, just that bottom of funnel focus is just such a differentiator, even when it comes to running a consultancy, right? I'm really in a category of one, because I'm not afraid to tie myself to a number. Okay, if we didn't get conversions from this piece, what do we need to fix? Let's look at the buyer journey as a whole and see what we need to, optimize or something like that. Like, I'm not afraid to tie my name to a number. And that's something that's a great area for a lot of marketers. And then we get into the whole marketing and sales beef type thing. But yeah.
I
But
heard you talking about that on Dave's
yes.
podcast.
Yes. It's like sales are more closely tied to numbers, right? They have win rates and, just so many numbers. Whereas marketing is just like, it's harder for us to show our value, but we carry a lot of value. Our job is to bring more leads to the sales team, right? In order to make sure we're bringing the right type of leads to the sales team, talk to sales. And then it's like, and again, like, this is where we get into communication silos within companies. It's killing your strategy. If you're not communicating across teams, you're doing more disservice to the company and to it, really to everyone on the team. It's like, everyone is, working their ass off trying to get results, this and that. Like, make it easier for people, right? Like, have that open line of communication. If you put out a new content piece, hit up somebody, put it in a Slack group and say, hey, can you share this on social media? What do you think? Use the content as sales enablement. Like, one of the companies I'm consulting for right now, their SDRs use the bottom of funnel pieces to be able to close deals that are like already in the pipeline, right? So again, marketers, our value is diminished a lot of the time, but we hold a lot of weight and we do a lot of things. And I just want to be kind of like an advocate for marketers to say, like, we do matter to, companies, goals, whatever. Like, we do matter and we do play a huge part.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I couldn't agree more. And there were three things that you touched on that I wanted to bring up a personal marketing mess on.
Sure.
But you touched on like putting the customer first, SEO, and then qualified leads. And I think this example is really timely with what we're talking about. But at Real Ink, so we're a property technology company. We're a one-point solution and we only target multifamily communities. So
Okay.
we don't target like individual real estate agents at brokerage firms. We didn't find product market fit there. We really found
Right.
product market fit in multifamily because we could scale portfolio wide and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
So when we started creating content, we would target certain keywords that were specific to like real estate agent, like real estate virtual tour software solution. We would
Right.
target that, and what we would build landing pages with forms on there so they could download a piece of content that was relevant to virtual tours, but not necessarily relevant to real estate agents. And
Yes.
we started to notice we got an influx of real estate agents filling out the form. And so then they would be unqualified leads. And I think
Right.
that's a prime example of us putting the product first rather than the customer. And so that was a marketing mess that we learned from and quickly changed our strategy after that. But I thought that was very timely.
No, that's so spot on. It's like, companies think, oh, it's about me, my features, my this, my that. No, it's about the customer, what they want, what they need, and how you can solve that. And I think the fact that you guys were getting the wrong inbound leads, it's, I think that's why positioning is so important. And people talk about positioning, like, you know, like April Dunford and, you know, Anthony Pierre on LinkedIn, but positioning is more than just your homepage. It's all in your content. Like, especially for SaaS companies that have multiple lines of products, positioning is everything. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to mention that too, because when people think about content marketing, they don't really think about, oh, the positioning. They're just like throwing things into the ether and just, you know, oh, let's just see if this works. Like, no, you can have a complete strategy around organic marketing for sure. And positioning comes into play in that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Let's transition now to your content marketing dashboard. I wanted to bring this up because I do think for any content marketers listening, they should download this. It's free. It's super helpful. It consolidates a bunch of just market research, product feature articles, and a bunch of other different things. So I wanted to, one, have you just talk a little bit about it and why you created the dashboard.
So I created the dashboard to solve my own problem. So when I was freelancing, I wanted to work at this agency really, really bad. And I didn't make the cut. And it was super depressing. And it was depressing to a point where instead of spiraling out of control and just getting sad about it, I almost became obsessed with understanding why I lost that opportunity. And I tell people all the time, like, the dashboard was really built out of pain and frustration, because as a freelance writer, and even as like an in-house content writer, I felt like I had to go fetch for information from everywhere instead of it being consolidated in one area. It's like every time I want to write a content piece, I have to go on a literal treasure hunt to be able to write the piece instead of just having everything in one area. And here's another thing too, like another side tangent. The reason companies don't succeed with their freelancers is because you don't have the information for them all consolidated in one area. Who's your customer? What are the product pain points? What are the feature benefits? What are the platform overview and features? Like, how does the software work exactly? Why do they have to go around your site to figure this out when you can have it all consolidated for them? So that was a big pain point for me. And I'm finding that it is for a lot of other marketers too, especially like when they want to hold interviews. They just like, oh, I don't have, you know, this person never has the time to do an interview with me so I can do this content piece. I'm like, screw the interview. Get the information down one time. And then another thing I love about bottom of funnel is that you can use the same information over and over and over and over, right? You just have to change the positioning a little bit based on the keyword, the intent, the product line. It's just a little shift in positioning, but it's essentially the same information over and over.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And here's market research for you, because I do feel that I've never been a freelancer, but I've worked with plenty of freelancers. And yeah. I started to feel the pain point of where I'm not setting them up for success, because they're asking me questions and I just don't have the time to either get back to them in the time frame that they need it, or I'm not taking the actual individual time to consolidate our brand messaging, our writing guidelines into one spot for them. And yes. I could see the frustration with them. And then from my higher ups, they're like, the freelancers, they either get it or they don't. And it's like, right. I don't think it's that black and white. It's more like, I need to take the time and make sure I'm getting them the information and having a dashboard. And that was the main reason I downloaded it, was yeah. for that need.
Sure. Yeah. No, I wholeheartedly agree. And again, it's like, people talk about freelance writers all the time. Oh, it's so hard to find a good writer, which it is, right? I'm not like taking that away. It is hard to find a great writer, but you also have to make sure you set them up for success. You just can't hire a freelance writer and say, okay, you know, help us write these content pieces and make sure it gets conversions. Like I work with a ton of freelance writers and they're just like, okay, how do you do this? How do you do that? They barely know about the product, but the dashboard solves that pain point. Because they can go to the customer research section and see exactly who we're talking to, the ICP, you know, like, and for anybody, the ideal customer profile. And they have all the information consolidated and condensed, which is what I wish I would have had. Because if I would have, I probably would have did much better on that opportunity. And another thing, and I know I'm going on a tangent, but another thing is just like not knowing how to write product-led content is another pain point. I think this maybe like might lead us into feature mapping, but freelance writers don't know how to write product-led content that well. And I had the same problem, right? Like as freelance writers, a lot of us are taught to find a keyword we want to rank for based on search volume. I'm total, I will die on this hill. You should not base it on search volume. It needs to be based on intent, especially if you want conversions. But we're taught to find a keyword, type it into Google, look at the top 10 results, and then like take pieces of all those articles and condense it into our thing and call ourselves better. That's not, no. Like, and I said this on, you know, Exit 5, but the most important information sits within your teams, right? It sits in the sales team, in the product team, in the CS team. So these freelance writers are trying to Google things and consolidate it and put it into, make it make sense in an article, but it's not going to make sense because nobody on Google knows about your product, how the sales team does, how the product team does. You're not going to find your information on Google. It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that I think that's been useful with the content marketing dashboard for us is, and why I believe we've been so successful, is because we figured out a system and a process that works for us to work with freelancers and even our internal SMEs or subject matter experts. And we've been able to churn out content in a quality, like keeping quality top of mind and the customer top of mind in an efficient way because we figured out these processes that work for us. And one is just consolidating the information into one central repository, and that has worked for us.
Yes, yes. It's, again, when I was building the dashboard, I didn't understand that I was solving that problem, but companies get exposed when they write bottom of funnel content, because I see it all the time. It's like, oh, we have all this information, but there's still no alignment between the teams. So the dashboard also helps with marketing and sales alignment because you have everything down here. And if there's any hiccups or confusion, we're going to address it before we even start creating the content. Because alignment is like when, you know, product marketing, you know, CS and sales all agree on what the product is, what it does, and who it helps. Getting all the information down in one single source of truth helps solve that problem.
Definitely. And going back to product-led content, you had already brought up feature mapping, but do you believe like this is one of the ways that you feel you can get everyone aligned to with feature mapping?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think feature mapping is like a new concept to a lot of people, but me just being trying to be cool and put a name to the things, the crazy things I do on a daily basis. But essentially, like when I explain the process of feature mapping, they're like, whoa, okay, that makes so much sense. And it's like, I get so much good feedback on the dashboard as it relates to the writer's perspective. Cause they're like, oh, this is so plug and play. It's so easy because all we're doing is connecting dots. We're not making up anything. We're not doing any Google searches. We literally use Google 0% of the time for all the content that we write. Everything comes from this single source of truth in this dashboard. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So then let's dive right into it. Will you explain your process and what it is?
Sure. So feature mapping is the process of breaking down your features and mapping it to a specific pain point that the prospect has. So the way I do this is I look at the pain point, and then I look for the feature benefit, basically the benefit of the pain point being solved. And then the product feature, the proof that your software solves the problem. If you can connect those three things, essentially that's feature mapping as a whole. I know a lot less like complicated, but the way my brain works, I have to literally simplify everything down to its core, or I'm going to overthink it and get confused. Like, and this is what companies aren't doing in their comparison pages. And again, when I say comparison pages, I mean like best versus alternative. They're not feature mapping, right? They're just giving a high level overview of their product. Oh, it does this, it does that. Are you making it product led? Are you explaining in detail how the feature works? Are you giving live examples of how that feature works? Do you have screenshots and GIFs or like, that's what product-led content is. It's literally a written demo walkthrough. Mm-hmm. And what I love about it is that you can get very hyper-specific on who you're targeting. So if it's like, if we take a big company, you know, like Salesforce, that has a ton of different use cases, right? Like, some use cases aren't going to be relevant to certain people, versus other people. So it's like, again, coming back to positioning, once you understand the use case, you can then grab those features for that use case and then properly connect it together with a pain point and then connect it with a product feature. So, and essentially, that's when I come into teams, that's literally all we do. And it's just like a light bulb moment for a lot of people because they're like, oh, I didn't know it was that easy. It wasn't, right? Like, it took me a year to build the dashboard, but I'm just, again, solving my own problem. And that was a big problem for me, understanding how to write product-led comparison pages. Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason I wanted you to bring it up because I found feature mapping helpful as a content marketer because I believe that sometimes content marketers, and I'm guilty of doing this, but we try to stuff too many benefits into
Yes.
one sentence. So then it
Yes.
convolutes the message and it's not clear to the reader or the listener. And I
Spot
think that Emma Stratton does a really, really good job on how to basically simplify feature mapping and make sure you're talking about one specific benefit at a time. Do you find that
Yes.
with your clients as well?
Absolutely. Like so we may talk about multiple features in one article, but essentially what we're doing is we're still breaking down those features, right? We're not just like smashing it all together. We're breaking it down feature by feature, giving examples. For example, let's say you're in this situation that like we put multiple features in one article, but we're just still breaking them apart and it's still relevant to the person that's making the search.
Yeah, I love that. I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that because I am finding and I'll catch myself doing it and I'm like, this is not clear. And then I go ask ChatGPT and it definitely tells me it's not clear. And so
Yes.
trying to make sure that we're not stuffing too many sentences with too many features that it's unclear to the reader is just
Yes.
important to keep in mind.
100%.
Okay. That's all I had with feature mapping. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention on that topic?
I think that's about it. Again, it's not super complicated. It's very easy. It's just about connecting the dots. And once you exercise that muscle, it's not a muscle that gets exercised a lot because, again, a lot of people, and I'm not saying this boastfully at all, they don't know how to write bottom of funnel content. So it's not an exercise that they go through often. So again, when they see it, it's like a light bulb moment. But no, it's pretty much that simple. List pain points, match it to a feature benefit, match that feature benefit to a product feature, and explain how it works.
I love it. Feature mapping. And I love the visual components. I'm the same way. And I like
Yes.
connecting the dots. It's like a
Yes.
puzzle. Let's transition to the marketing mess. Will you tell me a little bit more about your specific marketing mishap?
Yeah, so I was working with the company this year, and they were working with another agency that was attempting to write bottom of funnel content for them. But again, like I say, a lot of people don't do it right. And even my differentiation as a consultant is agencies are trying to scale. That's their number one priority. Me as a one-person consultancy, I have the time and attention to dedicate to your content marketing that you need. Because this does take work, right? Like, we got to talk to the different teams. We got to get down the pain points and the like, we have to do all this work. And it's like companies don't really, SEO agencies don't really have the time to get that deep with the person. So the content was like extremely high level. I was able to come in and just like run the articles through my frameworks and things like that, and was able to get some pretty significant increases on conversion rates. So even if you have bottom of funnel articles now, it's not to say that, not to say everybody's doing it wrong, but could be space for opportunity to make them more product led for sure.
Okay, I know we're coming up on time and I want to be respectful of your time, but the last segment that we've been doing to make it a little bit more interactive for our audience, we have you describe the number one tool that you can't live without and I try to guess it.
I don't think this is going to be hard for you to guess.
Have we already mentioned it?
No,
Okay.
but it's really like kind of out there. I'll let you take a guess.
Okay, give me like one hint or something.
This is gonna give it away. Oh my gosh. The
Okay, maybe describe the logo. That could be a little harder.
logo. It's very black and white.
Oh. Okay. That I don't know, because I feel like it's a tech tool, right?
Yes.
Black and white. Well, LinkedIn's blue, because I was gonna maybe guess LinkedIn. Is it LinkedIn?
Well, LinkedIn is a good one,
Okay.
but it's a good one, but that's not it.
Okay. Ooh, okay, I don't know what it is. What is it?
It's Notion.
Oh shoot, we did talk about it.
But you know what's interesting is that I'm in the process of trying to move that process in Notion into Airtable. So I'm trying to see if it's room to, and I'm sorry, I've got noise. My baby is walking around pushing a huge tote.
Oh
But I'm
my
just like, he just learned how to walk, so I'm just letting him get his walks out. If you hear like the noise in the background.
God. I love you.
But no, like I'm trying to move the process to Airtable to make, because I've had a little bit of pushback. I'm like, oh, we don't want to add another tool to our tech stack and da 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 da. So I try to like make the process tool agnostic. And I tell people all the time, it's like, it's not the tool that matters. It's the process. It's the feature mapping process. It's the process of interviewing the sales team and the customer success team and the product team, right? That's what matters. It's not the tool necessarily. It's the process within the tool.
Wow. Yeah, I did not guess that. I'm 0 for 2 because I don't think I guessed Tara's from last week either. But well, Lachey, this was so fun. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We'll definitely need to do a part two, possibly with Tass. But will you tell our listeners how they can find you?
Sure, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm always there. And you can also go to authorityplug.com, content hyphen dashboard, to grab the dashboard if you want to take a look at it. Totally free, super helpful resource for content marketers for sure. But yeah, if you want to reach out to me, I'm always on LinkedIn. I'm on it every day.
Love it. Well, thank you. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. For today's shout out, I wanted to shout out Anne Firminoff. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. I'm really sorry if I'm not, but she is the host of the Modern Startup Marketing Podcast. And she shouted out Two Pizza Marketing for being a top 10 popular marketing podcast. She made us aware of this, which is super exciting. But
Oh.
Anna, thank you so much for shouting us out. Really appreciate it. And if you ever want to get a shout out on Two Pizza, be sure to tag us on LinkedIn or mention us or review us. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today, Two Pizza Marketers. If you liked the episode, it would mean a lot to us if you'd take the time to leave a review. And if you have any questions or topics to suggest, we're always happy to hear from you. So send us an email at two, pizzamarketers@gmail.com. And until next time, keep having fun and try to stay sane in the marvelous mess that is Two Pizza Marketing.